protected in time. A message from the gouvernement du Québec.
This is Nick Santa, and you're listening to my new show, Show Up and Show Out on CKUT, which is located on unceded indigenous lands. The Ganyangahaga Nation is recognized as the custodians of the lands and waters on which we gather today. Joh Jage is historically known as a gathering place for many First Nations. Today, it is home to a diverse population of indigenous and other peoples. I am so excited to be right now, right here with all of you on my first show with CKUT funded by Radio Meters and bringing to you trans talent of color here in Montreal. It's been quite the ride in the last 2-3 weeks trying to figure out how I was going to make it happen and who I was going to invite. And I have such a lineup for the next 4 weeks for y'all, and it's incredible. So today I'm going to be starting with Apollin, right?
Apollin.
Who's a Caribbean singer and songwriter who finds his inspiration in electronic pop culture and the 80s pop rock era. His music is unapologetically queer and dealing mainly with love, heartbreaks, and unfulfilled love affairs. Who can relate here? I definitely can.
I think most queer people can relate to that.
It's the story of our lives on a daily. Apollin, thank you so much for answering the call and joining me today on this spotlight moment for you.
Thank you for having me.
So let's jump into it. I want to know more about you. I want everyone to know more about you. So when did this love for music begin for you?
I think the oldest memory I have of music and my love for music comes from my grandmother. She was always the one singing in the house, and she was my second mom, you know. And she introduced me to a lot of old songs, old Caribbean songs, and my parents loved a radio station called Nostalgie, and which is basically a radio station that only plays old variety French music. So from a very young age, I was really put into like this mix of, and I come from the Caribbean also, so I was put in this mix of the influence of BET, the influence of Latin American music, salsa for sure. We had influence from Haiti, mm-hmm, with the compas. I was always like really in this melting pot of music, so So yeah, I think it came from a very, very early age.
So you'd say that there wasn't one culture in general that has influenced you in your music. You've been like very much bathing in all of it, right?
Yeah.
How did so you're saying you're from the Caribbean? Where exactly?
I'm from Guadeloupe, which is a French and next French colony, which is now a French department, which is considered like a part of France. Outside of France, just like Hawaii. Mm-hmm. We speak mainly French there. But it's so close to so many islands that speak Spanish and English. And, you know, it's really in a spot where most of people don't speak French. So so you kind of get not only the culture from Europe and France, but you also get all these influences from all those countries around. And it's so great to live there.
Mm-hmm. So in your music now that you're doing, so we're going to get there very soon. You say you're doing like very 80s pop rock era with the electronic pop culture mix. How did, from a very young age, how did La Guadeloupe, so the culture from there, did it influence, did it transpire in your music? Are you still keeping on with it, or did you decide to move completely away and do something else?
I would say that I was always the awkward kid. I was full on in the emo culture. I was listening to metal and rock music. I was always looking for outside. And I was so much more, I feel, influenced by music coming from outside Guadeloupe than music coming from actually from there. But I'm always very sensible to it, you know, mm-hmm. because it's part of my culture, of course. So I can dance zouk. I have moves, I promise. But yeah, I was always into rock music from a very, very early age. And I think it was also because being an outcast, you find kind of a refuge in rock music. And because in this era, I'm talking like early 2000s, you know, rock music was kind of the outcasts and the rebels, and I really identified to that.
I think it's always been that, but for different generations, the music has just transpired to that generation's era and like feel, right?
Yeah.
So the first song we were listening to is called "So Sick." Tell us a little bit more about that inspiration, that song. Tell us about the lyrics.
So Sick is basically a song talking about the idea that I had was. When you had, it could be a one night stand, it could be whatever, but when you had like such an amazing night with someone and you don't want that person to go, and it's basically a song that you could sing to yourself, but you would never say that out loud, you know. So basically "So Sick" is just like, yeah, just me singing that to myself, and not being able to say it to the person, you know.
Absolutely. So we're going to take a short break, and in that break, we're going to listen to another one of your songs, and this one is unreleased. It's mm-hmm. called "Garçon d'Avril."
Yeah.
So let's cut to it. Thank you. We're back. You're listening to CKUT. This is Nick Santo for Show Up and Show Out, here accompanied by Apollon. So let's keep on going. Tell me, what have you found in the last years? What have you found difficult as an artist, and even in the recent years, like let's say recent months, recent weeks? What are your difficulties that you're finding?
I think, like most people, the pandemic has been very, very hard. You know, not being able to perform, not being able to go out to see your friends, to meet people, meet other artists, and so you have to find ways to cope. And my way to cope, like in a healthy manner, was to start producing music. So instead of looking for people that would produce my song that I would write with, I just decided to do it. Everything myself, you know, and in a sense it was really helpful, because now I'm really proud of what I do, but it came from a real struggle of not knowing what's gonna happen next, you know, when am I gonna be able to perform again, am I gonna ever be able to write again, because of course, like, there's depression, there's boredom, there's all those things that came in one and slaps us in the face, you know?
Right, with the pandemic that just happened, yeah.
So it was, I think the pandemic had a major effect on me. It was really hard, but on the other side, it was like it was a catalyst for something, you know?
Right, and so tell us more about your performances. Where have you performed? What have you done while you were here in Montreal? And even during the pandemic, have you performed? I'm pretty sure you have. I mean, I know the answer, but I'm going to let you tell us more about it.
Did I during the pandemic?
Yeah, of course you did. During Pride.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. Well, that was in that was in 2019.
No, you did also Pride, the hybrid Pride that they did.
Oh, wow. Yes, I did. Oh, my God. I'm so bad. I'm sorry, guys.
But
I'm
I
so bad.
Know why you're trying to forget it. Don't worry. I understand why.
You understand. Okay.
And it's not about your talent.
Okay, let's just not talk about it.
Oh, no. I want us to talk about it. We're here to expose everybody today. We're going to do it. Yeah, we're doing it. We're artists, and we're tired of being treated like that. Okay, so we're not going
to
do it.
We have a lot to unpack then. first, well, let's talk about the great one. The great one was in 2019, and it was so amazing to be able to perform on the big stage, the TD stage, with such an amazing lineup of people. And I was scared shitless, I have to admit. When they told me that there was going to be like 8,000 people there, I was freaking out. But, you know, it's just part of the job, you know. You have to just shake it off and just go through it.
And just adding to that, because a lot of people think that we just play for exposure. Mm. Just so you have an idea, how did that impact your listens and your follows when you did that 8,000 people show? Tell me.
Not that much, I would say. I would say that I had a few mainly queer people from the community following me and just like hitting me up on social medias, but I would not say that it had like a major professional impact on me. But on the other hand, you know, it's also, when it doesn't, it kind of stimulates you to go further and to do more and to be your best. So I don't mind if it didn't happen there, because I know it's going to happen eventually, you know. So
absolutely. But just so you know, remember this. At the end of the day, exposure doesn't pay our bills.
No, it doesn't.
None of it pays our bills. We need actual money, real money, real pay. If you pay us, we're able to pay our bills and we're able to keep on doing music. If you don't pay us and say, oh, it's exposure. Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. I got exposure already on a big stage and it hasn't brought much to me. You know, because at the end of the day, Spotify listens don't really bring in any money. 0.00000000, and I could keep on going. We don't have enough time on this show.
Yeah. And actually, the best way as an artist to make money is to do shows and to be on the stage, you know. So when the pandemic hit, like, we can do that. So how do you think it impacts your financial well-being? You know, it's not going to happen.
What finance?
What money? Money where? But
don't know her.
Yeah, so what was your question?
Tell us more about more of those performances,
yeah.
Right?
So the performance the next year was an online performance, and I think that honestly I don't know where their budget went, because it wasn't to the level where we used to see. You know, Pride has kind of a standing in Montreal, and I felt like the money or the energy was not well put in that edition of Pride. But I also like we have to understand that they had like a reduced staff and that people were struggling. Like nobody knew what the fuck they were doing. I said it. Nobody knew what they were doing. So it was not the best experience. But you know, on the other hand, I don't want to blame them for that, because, you know, they did what they could also.
Oh, no, absolutely. And I don't think here playing a blame game does anything right. But I do wonder, why are we still accepting that big, big, big names are being paid so much money, and then the smaller artists we get always crumbs? You know what I mean?
I think they want to bring money to the whole thing. But also Pride is supposed, especially a Pride from a big city from like Montreal, is supposed to be like not something underground, but like has to show the underground community and the underground artists that are coming from that actual city, you know.
Right. And that's one thing that I always say, is like, you want to show how much your city can shine, show us the talent that's in it.
Yeah, for sure.
Because the talent that's here is no different from the talent that's in New York City and in Miami and in LA.
Exactly.
The difference is just the people who are putting the money in.
Unless you tell me you're going to bring Lady Gaga, then I'm going to shut right up. Shut right up. Okay?
I'll still ask to be the first part of Lady Gaga before I shut up. You know what I mean?
Work.
It's like you got to aim for more. Never sell yourself short.
You're right. Totally
one thing
right.
that I learned with time when I'm doing this, like this whole thing and doing my music, I will only do a free show if it's something that I want to do, and it's something that is actually making me happy. Mm-hmm. But second of all, I will ask the right amount of money for my shows, and I will not accept anything less.
For sure.
And when I'm told paid with exposure, I'm like,
Yeah. And it's always that struggle as an emerging artist that you have to choose, like, can I pay my bills, or do I want to perform? Because also as an artist, you want to perform. Like, it's not all about the money, but this is your passion. So you want to perform, but sometimes you have to say no, or to kind of know your worth, to not say yes to everything. And it's always a struggle for everyone, I think.
Well, yeah, and that's one thing, is like, once you start setting your boundaries, you'll see that you're probably going to be performing much less.
Less, yeah, for sure.
But eventually the opportunities are going to start coming, and they're going to be good ones, and not little wonky ones where you're not paid properly, where it's not filmed properly, whatever. But it's going to be like done with respect, and people are going to call you like by your last name and have like water ready for you, and like ready to treat you with all the respect that you're deserving of, because you're coming in and you're performing, you're giving your whole body and talent to this thing, right? So inspiration wise we spoke a little bit about the 2000s rock. When it comes to your life, love, so you're saying, like, bring us into your brain when you sit down, what's your process of writing a song?
I write most of my songs are about love, about struggles around love. Like I said, you know, at being queer and wanting to have like relationships, or being in relationships, being queer in a heteronormative society is pretty complicated for everyone. So I feel like I always find inspiration in that struggle. And yeah, I think a lot of heartbreaks, a lot of, like I said, a lot of unfulfilled love affairs. When you fall in love with the wrong people, aka falling in love with straight men.
Now, the second question, this is an intervention.
Yes.
Do you go looking for it?
No, absolutely not. They come to me, unfortunately.
Are you the type of, like, hurt me so I can write good music?
Well, you know what? It helps.
Heard it here first.
It helps. Well, and I can't really be mad at it because, you know, I wrote some nice songs about, like, heartbreak. So, like, yeah, it's part of me. It's part of my life. So I have to own it.
So when you sit down with your whether it's a computer, your phone, or a pen and paper, how does it work? Do you hear the melody? Do you start by writing the music? Do you, like, sit down at the piano or start producing on your computer? What do you do? Where does it come from?
So when I was younger, my mom tried to make me learn piano. I refused. I then started guitar, but I abandoned it. And when I was in the process of learning how to produce music, I pretty much went with my ears. And right now what I'm focusing on is really just working on an instrumental, like a really nice instrumental first, and then, like, just give out everything that this beat is giving me, you know? So I do electronic music, but what is really particularly interesting right now is to try to do music that sounds it's a band playing, but it's actually just all of it produced by a computer. So this is what I'm trying to perfect right now.
Mm-hmm. So trying to perfect that sound. And do you eventually want to have a band on stage with you, or do you really want to continue with that idea?
For sure. I feel like on stage, the energy of a band is, like, it's just best, you know? But I would definitely be open to have, like, musicians in studio. But right now, I mean, it's just like a personal process. And it also depends on the project. I have the plan to release my next EP next year. I don't have a date.
In the 2020 something, okay?
Exactly, eventually. and you know, I tried many times to open the door to collaborations, and I feel like sometimes it's difficult to make people understand your sound, and it's really a particular type of people that you really get along with or understand where you're coming from that can understand your sound. I decided, you know, let's do this one by myself, and eventually if I decide to do an album or something bigger, I would definitely be open to have actual musicians with me. But for sure, what I'm producing right now, I'll send it to musicians to, like, kind of oversee, like, is it good? Is it bad? Is it shit?
Is it making sense sonically?
Yes, for sure. So yeah, but going through this process alone for now.
So let's go and listen to another song of yours. Il me brûle. y'all. You're listening to Nick Santo with Show Up and Show Out on CKUT 90.3 FM. So we were just speaking with Apollon, who is an incredible singer and starting producer. And here we are on this second part of the show with Miss Dupré Latour, who is a non-binary trans activist for BIPOC and 2S LGBTQIA plus causes. She's also an influencer, drag queen, as well as entrepreneur and CEO of Dupré Latour Cosmetics, a new makeup brand that promotes diversity and inclusion. Ms. Dupré Latour, thank you so much for being here with me less than 8 hours notice.
Right? Bonsoir, Nico. How you doing?
I'm doing good. And you?
Like, you know, before I come, I was like, okay, I will not have time to do my makeup. You know, I came to you without eyelashes. How dare you?
And you still look super stunning. Like, what's this? Like, what am I doing with my life?
Thank you.
Your skin is glowing. Yes, I wish we could see you. Like, I wish, like, the radio was, like, a live show.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, if y'all could see our back and forth of text, it's like, I'm not available at that time. Maybe that day. I'm not available. Maybe that next week. And then next thing you know, it's like, okay, I'm available. Okay, wait, no, hold on. Wait, no, okay, yeah, let's do it. I think that was an hour and a half ago.
Right.
The last text. That's,
yeah. But I'm so happy to be here.
Honestly, I am too, because I've been, like, we met, where did we meet? We met at Date.
No, we met when you were performing in the streets.
Oh, yes, yes. Was it last year?
Yes, I think that was during the Pride.
Exactly, Pride, yes, 2021.
Not 2020. I thought this is the... No, yes, 2021, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. I was performing with Black Casper and Isis Baga.
Isis Baga, exactly.
And Erica? Yeah, Erica as well. Yeah, yeah, of course.
And this is where also, I think you released your song... And the video...
That was the year before, I think.
Okay.
I had really... Yeah. I honestly, like, we got lost in the pandemic. It's a blur. It's 2-3 years of a total blur where everything happened at once. It's fine.
Yeah.
So tell us more about who you are. Who is Miss Dupré Latour?
Okay. So I'm originally from West Africa. Mm-hmm. And I arrived in Canada 4 years ago. And I did my coming out 2 years and a half ago as a trans non-binary. So a lot of people used to ask me, why non-binary if you are a trans? So it's just because when I just came here, I never know anything about, like, the community LGBTQ. So that was a rush to know who am I, to learn about myself. So a lot of people, they was asking me, like, how do you identify yourself? But I didn't know, like, I was searching, who am I? So I discovered non-binary, it means, like, no pressure. Like, I'm whoever, I don't identify as a male or as a female. So I was like, okay, that works. So I think this is, like, the term non-binary is kind of like an... what is the words that I can use for that?
Empowering?
Exactly, you know? So, like, it doesn't matter how am I identify as. Like, I'm Miss Dupré Latour and period, you know?
I identify as a bad bitch. As that bitch, too.
Ah, that bitch. Yes, exactly. So, yeah, so, and when I came, I did the first Loud and Proud of Quebec City with Cam Esther. And she was an activist for Black and LGBTQ community. And then one of her friends in common presented me to her. And then she was like, I want to do a project. I want you to tell about yourself, your background and everything. So I was like, okay. I was unsure. But I was like, okay, I might do it. And I did it. And, like, I didn't regret it because this is what makes me feel like my voice need to be heard.
Is that where your career and your path as an influencer started?
Yes. Because, like, when I came in Canada, I never went to a gay bar, you know? So the first thing that I did when I arrived is just like Googling gay bar.
Grindr going through.
I didn't know.
Not even
Grindr. So it just popped up the drag. So I went there, and this is the first time that I met a drag queen.
So you were living in Quebec City first?
Yes, I lived 2 years there, and then I came in the pandemic in Montreal. So this is where I didn't even know who was RuPaul 4 years ago.
Wow.
Like, the gag. So when I arrived, I saw like drag queens. I was like, oh my God, that's so cool. I meet the queer people, and I went to the drag often. So I discover like a lot of things about the queer community. And then there was like an open stage at the drag. And then there was like, oh, for the new person who want to perform and blah, 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 blah. So I came to Montreal and I buy my new, like my first high heels.
I remember the first high heels for myself. It's so empowering,
I swear. And I went back to Quebec City and I was walking every time. And when I finished work, I was walking with my high heels and everything. So, and I did the first... My first performance, and I did Beyoncé, like the name of the song, Dance For You.
Yeah.
And that was so good. Like, I really enjoyed my time, all of my coworkers, because I was working in a hotel at reservation. So I was so proud. And I think when I start doing this, it makes me it's opened the door of my femininity. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because even when I was in Africa, I always like feel like a woman. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But I never explore it because like of the religion. I came from a Muslim religion. Like my mom wear hijab and all the stuff. So like I think I have something of my background blocked me just to release myself and to be who am I.
And do you feel like it's still blocking you, that no. part of you? No. No. If y'all could see the
it's
face.
Gone.
It was in the face. No.
Yeah, so when I did that, and then, you know, I did Loud and Proud Quebec, so I was like, why am I still hiding? Because I was talking to my parents, but I never told them who am I, like, really. So I was like, why am I hiding? I need, like, to release myself. Because, like, you know, I was like, I have a goal. I need, like, to speak, to make, like, people realize that what they think about queer people is not always the case. A lot of people think that this is choice. So I was like, I need to take my courage and then to speak in the name of all the African queer who live there or who are not there anymore, but who are afraid to be who they are, you know? Mm-hmm. So, like, I was like, this is my fight. So I did my coming out to all of my parents. That wasn't well great, but, you know, at least, like, I was so happy because, like, this is where I start, like, to boost myself and to say, okay, I'm here. This is my dream. I was like, when I was younger, like I was always dreaming, oh, what do you want to do? What is your dream? I want to be a singer, you know? But drag allowed me to lip sync, and because I was good at dance and everything. So, you know, drag allowed me just to be me, like a power woman on stage and doing my stuff.
So basically that influencer side of you came from really the need of activism.
The activism, like as I told you, it's about Loud and Proud. When I did the thing with Come Esther, like I was like, okay, I need to do that. So when I came in Montreal, this is where it's really start, you know, because in Quebec City, they are more like into them. Like if you don't belong to them, like they are not open, you know what I mean? So when I came here, I see everybody was just themselves, and everybody was like so different. And like it's make me feel, when I came to the village, talk to the people, it's make me feel okay, so I belong somewhere, like I'm not alone, you know. And I discover all the struggle for being a queer, for being a black in Montreal. And this is all of this stuff. I was like, okay, we need to make the change. I can make the change. So this is where it started, to be an activist, like to do panel de discussion, C'est mieux pour tout le monde with Greek Quebec, a lot of campaign talking about the rush, like to make people like realize that they are not weird, they are just themselves, like
they belong somewhere. And
exactly.
If they believe nobody loves them, somebody actually loves them.
Exactly. Yeah. So that was my first pride. You know my first pride? I was like literally crying because, you know...
Between like, everyone twerking and in their underwear.
You know, because like, you know, when you are in Africa and people were like, oh, what you are is so wrong, whatever, blah, 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 blah. And then you came somewhere and they are celebrating the difference. You know, you see a bunch of like queer people dancing and blah. I was like, oh my God.
And I absolutely relate with what you're saying because I'm Latine. So I fully understand that whole idea of you are in that constant battle with yourself of not knowing where you belong because your own culture doesn't want you, right? Your own people don't want you because you're so different. Mm-hmm. And then you come somewhere where difference is accepted and celebrated. And then you finally figure out that you can be you and it's not wrong for it.
Right. So this is where all of this things start. So I open a new Instagram. I was posting my daily stuff, like, and I find also my love with makeup because I think like makeup is it's make me like more confident about who am I as a woman.
So we're gonna hold on to that thought. Before we get to that, we're gonna take a short break with some music and we'll be right back.
I love you.
You're listening to Show Up and Show Out on CKUT, brought to you by Radio Meters with Nick Santo and my guest of the moment, Miss Dupré Latour.
Yes.
So, right before we cut to music, you were starting to talk about cosmetics, right? So, you are the founder and CEO of this new brand, this empowering brand. When did Dupré Latour Cosmetics start? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yes, I know.
When did you give birth?
Okay, so you know when I came, I was struggling a lot with finding my shade of makeup, my shade of foundation in Montreal. Like, you know, sometimes I was like, oh, I don't have foundation anymore, and I'm going to Jean Couture or to Pharmaprix. I will never find my shade. The only shop is like downtown with Fenty or Rihanna that I can find my shade, and like I was like, That's not good. Like that, the industry of beauty are not like inclusive. So you know, I saw online a lot of makeup brand like in their publicity they put like a black woman or something like that. But I just realized that those products they are not adapted with us black people. You know what I mean? So it's come from there. So I was like, sky is the limit, you know. Like, you know, the moment that I did my coming out, I was just like, I'm my own limit. I'm gonna battle for everything that I wanted of my life. I wanted to influence people. I wanted to be myself and then to show to people that you can be yourself. You know what I mean? So I was like, I'm doing this. And then one of my friends present me Company F, who's they are helping the woman to start their business. They are giving you classes and everything. So this is where I go to know how am I going to do. Mm-hmm. I take classes from them. And I became so close to the director of Company F. And then after I met like, I apply at École des Entrepreneurs du Québec. Mm-hmm. And they accept me. And this is where congrats. I'm doing business school. Like, so this is where I was like, okay, I know what is my branding. I know what I'm going to do. I know what the people, like my cible, what they mm-hmm. need. So
your
I was
target,
like,
yeah.
Yes, I'm just going to go for it. And I'm going to work hard like to make it happen. So this is where Duprel La Tour Cosmetics. But.
Well, you see, and that's something that I think is extremely important, especially for the 2S LGBTQIA plus community, and also for the Cutie BIPOC community. Uh-huh. It's so important to see these fighting and success stories, you know, because too often on TV and media we show always the negative, and we're always portrayed as like the drug addicts and the sex addicts, and like, you know what I mean. So this is the kind of story that we in our community see on a daily. So Ms. Dupré La Tour Cosmetics, where do you see it going? So I know that sky's the limit, but what's your next steps? Where are you? What is your short term goal, your midterm goal, and your long term goal? Let's say,
like, I think I want a product made in Canada. That's the first thing, mm-hmm. but also international. You know, like I just don't want to buy the product, but I wanna make them see that makeup is not about. Like, if you want to be gorgeous or beauty, but like, makeup helps a lot of people, you know, like, I saw many trans people that they are writing me, Ms. Dupré, you need to do some classes because we need to know how to feminize a face, or black people coming to me and say, okay, how did you do your contour? What shade did you use? How did you do to make your eyeshadow pop? So like, I just don't want to buy the product, but I want to make, like, value with makeup. How makeup can affect, like, your personality, your daily thing, your trans identity. So,
right. So build into that whole building the confidence of the trans community, right?
Exactly. And also putting the spotlight on us, because, like, it is a product made by a trans for trans people. Mm-hmm. But like, when people there was like, oh, Ms. Dupré, are you just doing a line for black and trans? I was like, no, like, it's...
But even if you were, what is the fucking problem with that? Like, why is everybody always so pressed when a black trans person wants to do something for their own community?
Yeah.
Like, we have, how many brands do we have already catering to the whites?
Yeah.
And this is no shade to the whites. Like, I love y'all, okay? But the reality is that the market is oversaturated, and then you have the people who are on the darkest shades who don't get to find their own shade to actually put on makeup. Like, yeah. Why do y'all have to play scientific and start, yeah. like, playing and with all the shades of contour, and let's see if I put that and that. Is that going to work?
But, like, I always answer, like, it is a product... Like, it's about inclusive, it's about mm-hmm. diversity. I want to do, like, a brand that a black person can go there, see him or herself in the product, and when they are using, they are satisfying about the product and about, like, what they do to them. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And also, like, I think, like, it's important also to make a scene, like, we as trans people. It is so difficult, like... You know, when I started it, I was just seeing, like, the glam party I was shooting, but there is a lot of work. And then when you reach people, people was always like, oh my God, trans stuff, LGBTQ, I'm here. But it's just words, you know? I'm struggling a lot. Sometimes when I went to Ottawa, and that was like a huge, how we said it?
Say it in French and I'll figure it out.
Regroupement d'entrepreneurs.
Okay, like
a sommet national.
Yeah, a summit. So basically like a summit, yeah.
Yes, exactly. So, and there
like
was...
Like a conference for
2 days in Ottawa, and like all the entrepreneurs were there, and like I was the one and only representation for the queer people, you know? And then sometimes when people were there was coming, they was just coming, not for what I'm doing, but who am I? So I was like, honey, I'm here to talk about my business, not about myself, you know?
Yes.
And then there is a lot of people like that I met. It was like, okay, we're going to be here. We're going to pull up. But at the end of the day, nobody. But like...
And that's the thing. That's the thing I really want to stress. When you approach us about our stuff, don't approach us for our life story. We're not a sob story for you to like cry on and then go and tell all of your friends about how you met this amazing person and inspiring person. Just fucking buy my products.
I swear.
Buy my products. You want to be encouraging? Buy my fucking products.
I swear. It was like, oh, this is the trance that I was talking to
It's always the trance.
Exactly. I was like, okay, my name is Nizu Prayer. How about that? So, yeah, but, like, I think, like, I don't want to give up. Like, I mean, I did a lot of... I was facing a lot of things in all of my life to be where am I today, you know? I think, like, the most difficult thing that I did was my coming out, and I did it, and I'm more happier than that I was before, you know? So I'm keeping hustling, keeping fighting, and I mean, as Lady Gaga said, there might be 100% in the room. You just need to find the one who believe in you.
Zaddy.
So, if the one is listening to me, just slide on my DM.
We are looking for sugar parents who are here. Sugar parents, all of y'all are welcome, no matter the gender, the size. Send cash out our way. Look at our faces. Cracking the fan here in studio. It is hot. Oh, it was right with the word. We could have tried to make that work and it would have never worked. So here I am. My name is Nick Santo for Show Up and Show Out on CKUT 90.3 FM with Miss Dupré Latour. So tell me, so through your drag, through your art, through your cosmetic brand, Dupré Latour Cosmetics, how do you find your influence? Do you find that your culture from West Africa, do you find that it's all in there? Did you decide to put it aside? Did you decide to make something with it? I don't know. Like, tell me.
Definitely, because, you know, like, being a woman, I was really influenced by the ones that I left home. You know, my grandma, my mother, they were strong women. They was like, you know, my father was never a strong part of my life. My mom was always, so she looked up to me. She put me in good school. She gave me like a great education. You know that English I learned it at school. Mm-hmm. Even French in Africa, we have like our own language. So like I see a lot of strong women in my country who are fighting to make like the children to feed their children, to make them have like a great picture. So like I think like I will not be the same if I was born and raised here. I think like all of the things that I have that's make me a fighter is about because I saw like the great black woman like fighting for their life, fighting for their children, fighting for their husband, fighting for the society. Because you know, like men in Africa are allowed to have 4 wives, you know, and women there are struggling a lot because like a lot of women, they are not going to school, they are not happy in their marriage, but they don't have the choice to stay. So, you know, so I was taught when I was younger that you need to have your pain in silence. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I'm working a lot with that because like a lot of people say, oh, Ms. Dupre, if you don't say what is hurting you, we cannot be in your head. So I'm working a lot because like I used to like to have pain in silence and shut up.
And just walk away with the breathing. breathing.
So yeah, even in my drag also, you know, sometimes I'm doing numbers that I do like traditional clothes, traditional music, you know. So it's made me who am I actually. So I cannot forget where I born because like it's part of me. It's part of my Miss Dupre, you know.
Your identity.
Exactly.
Who you are today. Yeah.
And I think it makes me kind of apart. It make unique, you know, because when you went to drag, like everybody's like lip syncing the same song or like the same type of like clothes, so it's bring things, mm-hmm. you know,
it brings the proper
sensation.
Spice, yeah.
Yes, the proper spice of yeah. Africa.
Yes.
So it's cool. Like I'm using
when they
it.
Have us on when they have us on the BIPOC community, they know that they're adding spice and flavor to the show.
That's true. That's so true. So yeah, like I'm so happy. I'm so happy for all the journey that's bring me here in Canada, and I'm so grateful also because at the end of the day, we have, like, such a beautiful country. Like, mm-hmm. I travel a lot. I was in France and everything. But nothing equal Canada. Like, we have the security. Like, people can be who they are. And then, you know, there is a lot of opportunities. And, you know, I said sky is the limit. But, like, one of my friends used to sell. I told one of my friends, after Canada, there is no way to go. There is hell after Canada. It's me like, I'm stuck with you guys.
You're stuck with us or we're stuck with you? A little bit of both.
Exactly.
It's the best kind of stuck.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, I'm so close to the black community, to the trans community. I'm always at the village because, like, it's making me feel home. Like, mm-hmm. I used to call the village. If people ask me, where are you going? I'm saying, je vais à la maison mère.
Yes. Yes. I'm going back to the head office. I have a meeting.
Definitely.
Yes. Now when people ask you, where are you going when you're with the Dupre Latour Cosmetics, you tell them, I'm going back to the head office.
I'm a CEO, bitch.
Oh, wow. So tell us what projects are you working on other than your cosmetic and your drag? Do you have any other projects that are brewing in your mind that you don't want to necessarily put out in the world, but now I can talk about it
because, like, I want to make OBNL for the trans community.
Okay, yes.
Because I think there is a lot of association in Montreal, like, I emailed them, but, like, I don't see really, like, they are not, like, facing the real problem, the real struggle. You know, I'm always with queer people, and I know, like, what we need to make things change, you know?
Absolutely.
So I want to be, like, I want to do something for the trans people because it's so difficult, you know? I didn't told you, but I was born androgyne. So I never take hormones, but, like, I know that someone are struggling with hormones or stuff like that, and emotionally someone need, like, an accompaniment.
Yeah, need someone that's been there and that understands and feels
exactly
it.
So there is a lack of that for the association, so I wanted to make a change about this also. And also, like, you know, there is a lot of queer people, they are doing stuff because they just don't have the choice.
Yeah.
But, like, I think, like, everybody needs to make their own choices about life, you know?
And that's something that I've noticed a lot too as well. There's a few centers for youth. But often, the cutoff age is, like, 25, 26. And the reality is that I find that as an adult, I'm 28 years old, I still don't know what the fuck I'm doing. I still don't know what I'm doing, and I feel lost because I feel like there are no resources for me, or when I'm trying to reach out to those resources, they're not really answering.
Exactly. And there is something also about age. Like, a lot of people, I think, like, why am I saying trans non-binary? Because I don't want that someone put me in a
category,
in a box.
Yeah.
And I think age also do that. You know, sometimes when I talk to older people and when I was telling my age, they was like, oh, you're too young to understand. Or, like, when I'm with young people, they was like, oh, you're too old. So, like, when people ask me my age, I was like, I'm age fluid. How about that?
How old are you? Yes.
Like, my birthday, I sent invitation and I was like, come celebrate my age fluid birthday. You know, all of my friends, they even don't know what is my age. And it's cool like that because, like, who cares?
At the end of the day, really, like, it's your business.
Exactly.
It's
like,
your
who
business.
Cares?
So we're already coming to the end of this amazing interview. Thank you so much for being here and accepting this invitation.
Thank you so much for having me. It's always a pleasure, Mr. Santos.
So, before we leave, tell us how we can find you on socials.
So, it's Dupre, Miss Dupre on Instagram, Dupre Latour on Facebook.
How do we write it?
Dupre and Latour.
Miss Dupre Latour.
Exactly. In all of my social media, TikTok, YouTube, I have a YouTube channel also. And I will do some content soon with my trans femme, my femme's queen, to talk about, like, the trans identity, the hormones and everything. So to make people understand more worries about being a trans.
Right. Thank you so much. So remember, everybody, you were listening to Nick Santo with Show Up and Show Out on CKUT 90.3 FM with the help of Radio Meters. I just wanted to leave you on these last words. Remember that it's not because we're trans that everything we do has to have the tag trans on it. We make music. We paint our faces. We dance. We make art, we paint walls, we make movies, we take pictures, we do so many things, and it's not because we do all of this that it has automatically to be called trans art. Because at that point, you put us in a category, and then you decide to put us aside because you don't want to look at us, because you're scared of what it might wake up inside of you.
Yeah.
So stop putting that branding on us, and remember that art is art, love is love, and we are humans just like all of you. Thank you so much, and I'll see you next week.
And just to add something to that, always live your truth. It's important.
Hey, this is the R-O-X-A-N-N-E, and you are listening to CKUT.
What's up, what's up, what's up, good people? To those of you listening wherever, whenever, whatever time it is, good morning, good evening, and good night. You are locked into another Tuesday evening with Soul Perspectives right here on CKUT 90.3 FM. Soul P has been on the air since 1994. We bring you all the topics, the guests, the ups and downs, the highs and the lows of the black community here in Montreal, across Canada, and internationally. I'm your host for the evening, Kim Dominique Ferguson, and we have a beautiful evening of music and discussion lined up for you tonight. Keep it locked. You are listening to Soul Perspectives right here on CKUT 90.3 on your FM dial.
Jonathan Amell. God bless America. And everywhere else the same. Viva Fidel, I take care of my people like Viva Fidel, Viva Fidel, until everyone equal like Viva Fidel, Viva Fidel, we stay elevated like Viva Fidel, Viva Fidel, my squad educated like we, oh, do you think what I say is, oh, do you think what I say is, well, a democratic rule, as long as the little children go to school, as long as you can roll up to the